You have children's sermons that someone's going to give the adults the impression that they might get what the children get. Wrong. You'll get grace today, but no candy. I'm sorry. He didn't tell me he was going to give candy out. You get to eat, though, after. Hear the word of the Lord for our meditation today. These words from John chapter 8. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are saved by grace through faith alone, not by works, lest any man should boast, because, Lord, it is a gift. It's even better than two candies. It is an amazing gift. Undeserved mercy, undeserved love. And, Lord, we want to use our freedom for your glory. We want to know we are free, that we are free indeed, and live as free men and women, free to share the love and mercy and grace and power that you give to those who belong to you, to all believers, the power of God. Thank you, Jesus, for your promises. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence, your ever-present help for us. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. All right, I got a test for you. Paul gets to hand out candy, I get to test you. It's not a good thing. Do you remember these sayings? Can you finish these sayings? There's no such thing as a free lunch. Pardon me? Free ride? Okay, that's good. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably... Did you say is? Isn't? Is. Okay. Freedom is not?
Free.
Okay. God helps those who?
Help themselves.
Well, that's pretty good. How many think that's in the Bible? You see, we know a lot of these sayings, right? They're part of our culture. We understand them. And that's what makes it so difficult for us who believe in the truth of what Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says, that we are saved by grace through faith, not of our own doing, but a gift of God. We have difficulty accepting this truth because in our culture and in our world and as human beings, we suffer from this desire to think that we can do it on our own. It's kind of like these people that were following Jesus, these Jews who were following Jesus, who were accepting what he was saying. And then he gets to this part in chapter 8, at the end of chapter 8 in John's gospel, and they're following him, and he starts telling them this wonderful truth. It says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And that started the whole problem. Because they didn't like to be told that they weren't free, right? Can you see the alarm bells going off? Ding, 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 ding. We're not slaves. Isn't that what they said? We're Abraham's descendants. And we have never been slaves of... They should go, we should be going, ding, 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 ding. Right? Because what do you read in Exodus? What about Genesis? What about the whole Old Testament? What about the intertestamental period? What about right there when Jesus is speaking to them? Were they not slaves to the Egyptians, to the Assyrians, to the Babylonians? I mean, the question should be, who weren't they slaves to? Really, don't you think? I mean, their whole history is one of slavery. And right now, they're slaves of the Romans. Now, the Romans were good at this, by the way. They made them feel like they had some control. And they were taxing them to death. But, you know, they made them feel like they were, you know, able to do what they wanted to because they gave them some autonomy, right? They gave the Sanhedrin, they gave the rulers of the Jews some autonomy. And so they gave them a feeling that they were sort of free. But you could really tell when 7 years after Jesus... a little less than 40 years after Jesus, in 70 AD, after Jesus died, what happened? The Romans destroyed Jerusalem because they were not free, and they were deceived into thinking that they were free. And you see what happens in today's society, even today, is that people are walking around out there trying to justify themselves, trying to pretend they're free. Do you believe me? They're walking around saying, I am free because I can go to this place where I want to go. I can walk this road. I can drive my car. I can do all these things. So I am free. And then they think about spiritual things. They say, well, you know, I haven't killed anybody. Right? And always a definition of what, if you're good. Well, I haven't stole too much. I haven't killed anybody. And I haven't told too many lies. Right? Isn't that what the definition of good nowadays? Or at least I haven't got caught. Right? I mean, when you're trying to justify yourselves, it's a hard thing to do. When you're trying to justify yourselves, it is really difficult. And that's why St. Paul says, none of us is justified. We are all guilty. We are all sinners. We are all people who are set apart from God from birth. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? That's the truth of the gospel. And you see, in 1517, what happened was that people were trying to justify themselves. They were trying to find ways to make themselves clean, make themselves righteous, try to deal with the fear of condemnation, the fear of revelation that we heard about, where the judgment will come on every single solitary person living past, present, and future. The judgment will come, right? And so they had all kinds of things to figure out how they could justify themselves before God, how they could work their way into a relationship with God that would give them some sense of security. And yet it was based on fear. It was based on trying to justify themselves. And really what Martin Luther said is what Paul said. He said, you're never going to ever be able to justify yourself. You're not going to be able to do enough good works. You're not going to be able to pay enough. You're not going to be able to do anything to earn your salvation. Period. And that was really frustrating for the people who are working so hard to earn their salvation, wasn't it? When he said, here I stand, I can do no other. The real reason he stood there was because he had written these documents and they wanted him to recant all of them. And he said, I can't recant all of them because a lot of it is scripture. And how can I recant scripture? Right? Remember the story? How can I say that I don't approve of this if it's scripture? So here I stand, I can do no other. I bet you his knees were knocking. If they weren't, they should have been. Because people had the power to take his life. He was really a slave, like we all are, to the powers of this world and to sin. But yet he understood what these people did not understand. Because Jesus replied to them, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." Brothers and sisters, if I were king for a day, I was going to say president, but I know that they can't get anything done. Sorry. If I was dictator, let's say I was in Venezuela, okay? And I was dictator for a day. What I would do is I would change things so that people could understand that they belong. Because it would be my desire, my heart's desire, that you know that Jesus died on that cross of Calvary, that he shed his blood, that he was that once and for all sacrifice for all of our sin, past, present, and future. And he rose again to declare victory over sin, death, and the devil, to show us his power, so that every single person in all of creation would understand that they belong. That they're no longer alone. I was sharing in the adult Bible study today that I went into, we live in by Saline, and I went into the Tim Hortons in Saline. I do that quite often. And I walked in at 10 o'clock one morning, and it was like they were having a town meeting. I don't know if you've ever gone into a coffee shop in a smaller community, and you soon realize that even if the place is just bustling with tons and tons of people, that you can feel very alone very quickly. And I hadn't felt that feeling for a long time, and I tell you, it is a terrible feeling, isn't it? Any of you felt alone lately? Isn't it a terrible feeling? And I thought to myself, that should never happen. That should never happen because we belong. Isn't that what Jesus said here? What did he say? A slave is temporary. This is what he says. A slave has no permanent place in the family. And if we allow Satan and our sinful nature and our world around us to convince us that we're slaves, then how many of us are going to feel alone? If we're trying to justify ourselves and live in our slavery, how many of us are going to feel alone? All of us. Because what does he say? He says a slave has no permanent place in the family. But that's not true for us, is it? Remember I said if I could be dictator for a day, what would I do? I would impress upon people that whole day for 24 hours. I wouldn't miss a moment. I would just pound them with the truth. You belong. You belong. You belong. Because that's what Jesus died for, right? He doesn't want anybody to remain in slavery. When he said it is finished, he meant end of slavery. Right? Because what does he go on to say? So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I've said this before and I'll say it again. The movie that really hit me with this was Braveheart. Remember Braveheart? I'm not suggesting that you watch it because it had gory things in it, but it's a story of William Wallace, and it's a story of freedom. A story of someone who was willing to give his life for freedom. And at the end, as he is being killed, the last thing that we hear him cry out is, "Freedom!" And brothers and sisters, we're in a country where people are willing to give their lives because freedom is not free, right? Our spiritual freedom came from Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, and it's the liberty that we have as citizens. I'm a visitor, but I have to say that because I get in trouble. But that people have as citizens of this great country, and that's as permanent residents, is freedom, liberty. And brothers and sisters, it's time that we started to live our freedom. Amen? Because Satan does not have power over us. Sin does not have power over us. Right? I mean, we let it. We continue to give into it. But the reality of the gospel is, and this is what Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free. Come on. How are you going to convince people out there if you can't even convince me? If the Son sets you free, you will be free.
Indeed.
No question. When you are forgiven, when you confess your sins, Jesus immediately turns to you and says, you are forgiven. You are set free. You are healed. Amen?
Amen.
For if the Son sets you free, you shall be free.
Indeed.
I don't know how people can exist. I don't know how people can live their lives day by day not knowing this. Wouldn't they live in fear? Wouldn't they feel alone? Can you imagine living a life where you didn't know you were free? And then I just want to close by asking this one question. Are you living in the freedom and the victory that has been won for you on the cross of Calvary and proven in the empty tomb?
Yeah.
I mean, we do things as Christians, right? When we know we're saved by grace through faith, when we know that we can't do anything to earn our salvation, we know it's a free gift of God. When we know that we are free indeed, how then do we live? Do we continue to live as slaves? Just doing the minimum to try to please the master? No. If we live in liberty and freedom, brothers and sisters, we should live a life of great joy as we go about sharing the truth of the gospel. As we volunteer and help and serve. We don't do it because we have to. In order to please an angry God, do we? As free men and women, we choose, we decide each and every day to serve Jesus because as He loves us, we then love others, right? And it's not out of guilt that we do this. It's because we are free. It's because we are loved. It's because God has given us this wonderful privilege of sharing the truth that you can be healed. You can be set free. You can know that you will never be alone again. That you are never going to be a slave because you are free. For if the Son sets you free, you will be free.
Indeed.
Amen. Let's stand as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.